Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the ZabeCast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. And there was the call, Andy. Ryan Ruocco on ESPN as Dawn Staley and the Lady Gamecocks put an end to the Caitlin Clark story. Oh, well, sometimes sports does not end as everyone probably thought or maybe hoped it would. So it goes.
You know, I think it had the perfect ending. I really do.
No, the perfect ending was Caitlin Clark hitting a logo three for the title. Come on now.
Yes, but look, South Carolina was an undefeated team. They were the best team. Caitlin Clark was a tremendous player who lifted a pro. You know, it was kind of like Bird and Magic. You know, Magic had the better team. With Michigan State, Larry Bird, you could argue was the better college player because he took Indiana State to the final.
True. He lifted them up. By the way, Larry Blurred almost won the NIT.
I watched that too.
Robbie Avila, a.k.a. Cream Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah. I mean, how many times do you get to watch college basketball and you see a guy who's got a body like yours?
But a much better touch and he's taller and everything else. He's also an athlete. But, okay, so back to the perfect ending. I can't believe you're sitting here trying to sell me on that this was the best ending for the story. Because let's be honest, Caitlin Clark and UConn set another new record for viewership on Friday night. Not even a good television night. And it was the late game. Yeah. New record. This game in the middle of the day is going to set a new record because it was on ABC as well. And you're telling, and by the way, South Carolina's game drew half of what Caitlin Clark drew at night. Right. The perfect ending was Caitlin Clark for three to win it all. It just didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, Dawn Staley was great, the coach of South Carolina, and she, you know, made it a point to talk about how great Caitlin Clark was for the game. I mean, it was just really a cool thing. And I watched more women's college basketball over the last 6 weeks than I had in my entire life combined.
You watch more Caitlin Clark. You did not watch other college basketball.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Well,
that's the point I'm hammering home. She's been great for the game, but is she the tide that will lift all boats, or was she a wave that came in and crashed?
We're going to find out. Yeah. There's some other really good players. Well, Paige Beckers is going to come back another year at UConn.
Nobody knows her. Nobody cares. Nice gal though. Good player. And the league and the WNBA is full of them. As I said to you in a text, next up for Caitlin Clark, the WNBA Witness Protection Program.
Right. And by the way, have you seen the WNBA Alta Cockers dumping on her?
No. Like, who?
Diana Taurasi and a couple others, like, oh, she's in for a rude awakening. You know, she's scoring all these points on 18-year-old girls. Just wait till she faces these experienced women.
No way. Was this on the Bird and Taurasi alt cast?
No, they think they were on with, yeah, maybe so. And then they came on with Scott Van Pelt on Friday night to say these things. And it was like, I was thinking, like, they looked at themselves and they go, hey, you know, I was great in women's basketball. I didn't get this kind of attention. But they should be saying, hey, look, she's taking it to the next level.
I know.
And we're getting recognized. But they didn't do it that way.
I think, truthfully, Taurasi was a better player. To me, Diana Taurasi played like a dude, which is the highest compliment you can give. And she was the better all-around total player. Caitlin Clark is Steph Curry for the women. She's an unbelievable long-range gunner. She's a sublime passer, but she has no real game other than those two things. Not that that's not a lot, but she has a dynamic nature to her. And again, she's the perfect Iowa girl. Simple, flyover country. It had Wizard of Oz, Field of Dreams, Middle America wrapped all into it.
Oh, and there's a racial component to it, too. And
sure.
Angel Reese, the personality that she had, being the perfect, you know, foil and all that. I mean, there's a lot of things that went into this. But let me say this about Caitlin Clark. I spent all these years trying to convince you that Pete Maravich was spectacular, and all you did was dump on him. It took a woman make you realize the impact that he had on the men's game, and it was very similar to what she was able to do in the last year or so.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, just give me a moment here. For the last time, Andy, I never said that he was, what did you say I said about your boy, Pete Maravich?
You said he couldn't play in today's game. And
no, he could not. His waist high dribble and his meaningless around the waist fancy moves would get eaten up in today's game.
Now, he'd be a shooter. He'd work more on the three-point shot. He'd be more like Steph Curry.
Yes. He would. Hey, you know what? The winning race car from the Daytona 500 in 1972 could win today's Daytona.
Yeah, that's right. Compare it to an engine from 50 years ago. Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
The athletes are engines. They are more fit, more explosive. They have more moves. They have more skills now. Because things keep evolving and they keep progressing. The state of the art in whatever it is you're doing keeps getting better over time. And if you give it 30 or 40 years, you're not going to be able to hang with the new shit.
Well, if you dump him into today's game at the levels of fitness and workouts and nutrition and all that, he'd be successful.
He was great for his time.
Yeah.
God bless him. Here, Dawn Staley. Let me give you the Dawn Staley because I thought she was excellent in praising Caitlin Clark. Here she was on the winner's podium after the game.
I really would just like to say that I have to congratulate Iowa on an incredible season. Awesome. Awesome. And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport, and it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games, and we appreciate you.
Okay, so there you go, right there. Well done, well done. That was nicely done, right there.
She was a great player too.
Hell yes.
She just came along just before the WNBA, and she tried to make it in a couple of leagues that never really got off the ground. But man, she was tough. She was a tough player. Woo!
Yeah. So I guess the next question will be, you know, what does this do for women's basketball? Obviously, see, they've already arrived in a lot of different ways. I look at it; they arrived in that there were five analysts jammed onto a single set at halftime over the weekend. And that's usually a staple of men's sports. Okay, we got a halftime show. Put more people on it! But there's already five. There's four people there. The halftime's not that long. When will they have time to speak? It doesn't matter! More people! More people!
Yeah, they're all good. And five African-American women, too, which, you know, it looks...
Does that tickle you? You're like, yay?
I thought it was good.
They should have a man on there just to have a man because, you know, you want to attract men. Would it be so wrong if a man was on the set going, no, this is great, great basketball. Why not have Jason Sudeikis? Can someone explain to me his connection with Iowa?
Maybe he's from there. I don't know. He seems to have liked the team and stayed with it. So
okay. All right. So they've arrived in that regard. I wonder if they're going to arrive in terms of the crazy portal nil money frenzy that is enveloping the men's game.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing about Caitlin Clark. She exuded this Iowa purity while just raking in millions and appearing in every single commercial that you watched while all this was going on. I mean, it's really, you know, it's an interesting dichotomy on that she was so successful in endorsements, and yet she had this way about her, like, oh, isn't that sweet? You know, she and her family sitting in the stands and everything, the two older brothers, and you know, it just really worked, and you wouldn't think it would, but it did.
Yeah. And then the other question is going to be, what is the rating for this game? Would you hazard a guess, given that Friday night was a 15? What do you 14. Think? Was it a 14 and change? Okay. Yeah. So what do you think the number will be for today?
It'll probably be 15. Last year it was 9-9, and nobody was really talking about Caitlin Clark. And so I would think it's 15 and maybe 18. I don't know. I mean, it's hard. It was, I think, on Friday night, the most watched non-NFL game that's ever been on ESPN.
Right. Well, they were comparing it to other sports, and obviously the number is propelled by the Caitlin Clark story. But even the B-side of the women's Final Four getting a 7, I mean, that's a really robust number right there. So they got a good product now that is getting some viewers, tickles all the demographics that they want. They can get some non-men demographics, some money from, you know, advertisers like Dove. I saw a Dove commercial during the game, and I was like, and they had a woman on, and they had to, you know, show body positivity. So she's a very large woman, Andy. And they show her spritzing her underarm with women's Dove deodorant. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if I needed to see that.
Well, I don't know. Somebody in marketing thought it was a good idea. Here's something else left over from Friday. I was around a group of men today and men were debating a call in a women's basketball game.
I mean, which we're now going to get to next, because I would love to get into this with you. It sounds like you liked the call on Friday night at the end of the game between UConn and Iowa. An illegal screen with 5 seconds left on Aaliyah Edwards of UConn on Gabby Marshall, who was frantically pursuing Paige Beckers to try to deny a three-point shot that could have won the game.
Yes, but she had the presence of mind to flop very well, sold it, and look.
So you admit it's a flop. It was a bit of a flop.
Yes, but it was a foul. There's no question that it was a foul. She sold it well, too.
Sure.
It was a foul. And so that's part of the game, too. LeBron does that all the time. All these guys, they flop like crazy. Why shouldn't she be allowed to do that?
There are a lot of people that are the worst. Like, you are the worst sports fan ever. I hate the guy that says, if it's a foul in the first minute, it's a foul in the last minute. Dumbest fucking statement ever. No, that's not how any of this works. Every play, every possession in basketball, you could whistle somebody for something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to exercise discretion. How tight are we calling the game? How is the flow of the game? Is this action that technically could be a foul, is it giving one side an unfair advantage? And then do you call it? How often is this, you know, actual technicality called? And I'm a believer, although not everybody is, I do believe time and score and moment should factor in. Not be the number one factor, like, well, you know, we want to see somebody shoot a three to maybe win the game, so don't call anything. I don't believe that. But I believe that there better be a damn murder to call something with 5 seconds left. And I believe the screen, yeah, it was illegal, but it was going to be good enough, even if it was legal, to rub, you know, Marshall off of Beckers to give her a look. And it was 25 feet from the basket. The fuck? You don't call that, in my opinion. But I was the same guy that bitched about the call the Chiefs got against the Eagles in the Super Bowl on a similar PI that you're like, yeah, it's kind of holding, but fuck, it bailed them out and it pretty much decided the game.
Understand, but the referee is standing right there. It's not like...
So
the,
what?
But it, well,
don't call it. It's a screen.
You're supposed to call it. That's what I.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
But here's the thing: they're not black and white. They're all kinds of shades. I do on a screen. No. If it's a foul on a shot, like imagine, let's say Beckers gets the shot off, and let's say Marshall closes out and just kind of bumps into her, and then Beckers herself flops to fall down, like shooters now are taught to do, and she gets 3 free throws with zeros on the clock. Would you say that's a good call? Because, well, it's a foul. It's a foul in the first minute. Should be a foul in the last. No, I think most people go, no, that's bullshit.
This happened on the way to Virginia winning the national championship the year after they got eliminated in the first round. They were playing Auburn. And I forget the name of the guy, but he had a corner shot and he missed, but his hand was ticked and he knocked down 3 free throws to win the game.
Yeah.
You know, do you look back and you go, because now it's a big storyline with what Purdue can do. Do you look back on it and you go, oh, yeah, well, Virginia got it because, you know, there was some ticky-tack foul that was called that shouldn't have been called. And that point in the game, no, if it's a foul, it's a foul. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, fair enough. People are divided on this. And I understand those who believe, look, you should call what the calls are and don't judge it on time and score. I'm just more of a holistic thing. Like, look, when the game's at that point, it better be egregious and it better be something where you're like, all right, that totally would not have allowed Team A to do what they want unless they did that. That screens are always sloppy. Was an elbow out? Were your feet moving? How wide were your legs? They're always very, you know, they're very interpretational is my feeling, but whatever. She would have missed the shot anyway. There was another defender coming up on her. It wasn't really even that good of a play, so probably didn't matter. Away you go. But yeah, that's another moment in which you go, hey, the women's game is making it. Guys will argue about one of their calls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's some brutal stuff going on Twitter still. But, you know, yeah, but I'm in a group of like 5 or 6 guys, And, you know, instead of talking about what the Commanders are going to do in the draft, we're talking about a foul in a women's basketball game.
Yeah. Speaking of the draft, I have made it once again my policy to not talk about, think about, read about, or even write anything down regarding the draft until Monday of draft week.
Wow.
4 days leading up to Thursday night's round one is more than enough, Andy. All these draft heads, and I know that they get clicks and likes and followers and engagement, and they love football, and they're like breaking down by safe. Here's my top five safeties. I get it, but again, you're fucking nerds, people, and you're annoying. Like, just enough of that already. 4 days I'll cram for the test, which is not even a test. Like, we're not going to get tested on this, are we? We're just going to watch to see who gets picked where. All these rumors about so-and-so likes them, so-and-so likes them. It's just rumors. It's a guess.
You know, it's 30 years since Bill Tobin famously said on the ESPN draft coverage, who the hell is Mel Kiper? Now, 30 years later.
Everyone wants to be Mel Kiper.
There are 50 Mel Kipers. You turn on any radio show, oh, yeah, here's Bet 100's draft expert. Who is this guy? I don't know. And he says, oh, well, this is what I've studied, and this is what's going to happen. All you do is you hang out a shingle, and you say, I'm a draft expert, and all of a sudden you are. And even the people who are on ESPN who aren't even in that business, like Field Yates, I don't really know what job he has, but he just wanders around, and he pops his head up, and he's a draft expert now. Yeah. Who are these people?
I don't know, but it shows you the insatiable appetite for people and football, for fans and football content and football discussion. They really do own the entire calendar now, the NFL, except for maybe July. Might be the only month they don't own, and then camps open at the end of July, so they kind of own a part of it at least. So there's that. Yeah. All right. Quick break here. For those who are subscribers to the Zabecast, well, hey, just download every day's episode from the premium feed, and you don't have to listen to these crass commercial messages. Another reason to hand over $4.38 or $4.53 a month to me if you buy it 1 year at a time. Otherwise, please support our sponsors. When we come back, oh yeah, the men did play. UConn-Purdue for all the marbles. I got thoughts on domes, duct tape, and more. You're listening to the Zabecast. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. That's FITBOD.ME/Zabe. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. All right, we're back, Andy. I guess we should talk about the men. Because, you know, those were some pretty compelling games. NC State did what most Cinderellas do when they get to the Final Four. They get thrown out right away. The bouncer right. finds out, what are you doing here? And they grab him by the shirt, and they throw him right out. It was a bit of a sticky game, but then Purdue went on a run late. Not only did they win, they covered as well.
Yeah.
Then Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, they've got Edie. And thank God that big men can still thrive in some level of basketball. You know, it's like used to be 20 years ago. Oh my God, Edie, we got a tank. We got to get this guy now. Not sure if he can play in the NBA, but college, he's really good.
He is an eyesore though to watch. Can we agree on that?
Well, he might as well have salad tongs for hands. I mean, he cannot hang on to the ball.
Right.
But if they throw it up to the basket, he can kind of drop it in. He's got a little bit of a hook shot that he can hit. But yeah, he's just playing with guys who are not his size.
And slower than a DMV worker who is about to quit her job. I mean, it just really is painful to watch. But good for Purdue. They're in the championship game, which you'll hear tonight. To close out March Madness. The other game, UConn versus Alabama, son of a gun. Nate Oates' boys gave them a war, and it was still not good enough because in the end, too much UConn, too much clinging, a little touch of Caravan with a big three that was late, and the threes for Alabama dried up. Man, this UConn team is amazing.
They're amazing, and I've watched a lot of Danny Hurley. Don't let me confuse them.
Danny Hurley.
Who seems to have this, like, I mean, he's like, it's like he's not even rattled at all. You know, he doesn't seem to have any confidence issues. And, you know, they it's a close game at the half. He goes, it's gone pretty much like we expected. And he knows, like, at some point, they're just going to turn it on and win the game.
He's one click shy of being the cockiest asshole of a coach ever. But he's not there yet with me. Like, when I watch him, I'm thinking, okay, that's pretty cocky. Okay, you're being an asshole. But wait a minute, though. I guess when you win, it keeps you from being that way. He's a unique personality. I mean, he and I think this superstition part helps take some of the asshole edge off him, don't you?
Right. Yeah, and unlike Patino, makes you believe like he invented dribbling the ball. Like before, you could just like throw it around. But we thought we just bounced it a few times that we could actually throw, and then we could do like a bounce pass. And you go, shut up. Like this guy.
Yeah, Patino is like a politician. Patino is trying to sell you a used car every time he's on television. And that makes him slimy, in addition to the fact that he banged a supporter in a restaurant booth at an Italian joint when he was still head coach at Louisville.
But he wins. I mean, you got to give him that. The guy's a winner.
He does.
But Hurley doesn't actually make it sound like he's the only one who figured out how to win. That's what I like about him.
Right. Now to the dome situation. The last non-dome Final Four was in 1994? 96.
I think it's been destroyed. It was the Meadowlands Arena.
Arena. Yeah, in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Yep.
And ever since then, I understand economically why they go to a dome. Fans of the teams that make the Final Four are so jacked up. I got to be there. They will buy tickets that are way, way out in the boonies up there in the football bleachers. Mm-hmm. And so they sell a lot of tickets. I get the economics. It's such trash, though. It ruins everything. The teams don't nearly play as well because they're not used to the environment. The benches have to be below the court because of the sight lines for the first 20 or 30 rows that are very flat behind the court. The television angles all suck. Did you not feel watching the games? Why does this not feel so good watching it? Like,
no,
you didn't feel that way.
I'm used to it now.
I guess you're used to it.
30 years of this.
Yeah. I know. I felt distant watching at home compared to the other games because the camera lines were different. Do you think they'll go away from it ever?
No.
Because they still sell a ton of tickets.
Yeah, and also I think they like the fact that you turn it in and they take the wide shot and you go, well, there's 70,000 people that are watching a basketball game.
Lends an air of importance. It's a flex. Yeah. It's a flex as well. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. 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 Anyway, and there was that. And then, of course, the NCAA, being the whores that they are, made sure to duct tape over 70,000 little Ford automotive logos that were on every cup holder, on every seat, because they are a sponsor of the Arizona Cardinals who play there, but not one of the official corporate champions of the NCAA.
Well, there are people who make a living
making
sure those Ford logos get duct taped over. That's the way they roll.
Oh, my God. Have you seen the proposal for the Super League of college athletics that The Athletic wrote about last week?
Yeah, well, I didn't study it carefully, but it's just basic common sense. These are the good schools. They're going to have all the interest. They're going to get all the TV watchers. They're going to make the most money.
All right, here's how it would be. The current college sports Super League concept would have the top 70 programs, all the members of the five major conferences, plus Notre Dame and ACC member SMU, as permanent members, and it would encompass 130 FBS universities. This is for football only. The right. Perpetual members would be in seven 10-team divisions, joined by an eighth division of teams that would be promoted from the second tier. That would also mean that some teams in the non-permanent 10-team division would get demoted, so they'd be up and they'd be down. It'd be a relegation system, not unlike European or English soccer, where there's different, you know, Premier League and everything else. The playoffs would not require a selection committee, as the eight division winners and eight wild cards from the top tier would go to the postseason. I think they're still going to have a committee. The wild card spots will be determined by record and tiebreakers, much like the NFL. However, thus far, the group is struggling, writes The Athletic, to gain traction with schools that would play in their proposed Super League because there are TV contracts that lock these conferences in, some as deep as 2034.
Right, right. But we're
is moving. This, Andy, just the way they sketch it out, if they could make it happen, would you be excited?
Well, look, what the product is on Saturday, to me, is still good. I don't really care behind the scenes how they're making it. And
this would not be behind the scenes. This is making up seven new leagues.
Right,
eighth league of rovers that come and go.
But when you sit down to watch Georgia and Alabama, are you really going to care that much about all the Michigas that is making that happen?
How do we know they'll be in the same 10-team league?
Well, I'm just using them as an example. Michigan playing Georgia, Michigan playing Alabama, Ohio State playing. It doesn't matter. The point is, it's professional football. It's professional sports. And this will also do away with the portal because you're going to have these guys sign contracts. And if they want to get out of the contract, they're going to have to. And to get out of the contract, you got to buy your way out of it, just like a coach. This is the way, and this student-athlete garbage, which hasn't existed in 75 years, we're going to finally do away with it. You don't make them go to class. May even have a draft out of high school, because that's what it is. It's professional football, and they just represent the university, but nobody gives a damn about them as a student-athlete. It's ridiculous.
You do know that being a student athlete is not, quote, garbage, as you say. It's what 99% of the students who play sports, even Division I, are, because they aren't drafted. They don't go pro. And you and I know personally many of them that played Division I and graduated and are now in the real world.
Yes, that can, and that can
it's
still
not
be available
garbage.
To you. It can be available to you, but those guys will still be working under contracts as well, and they will be paid salaries while they're in school.
Well, you would need to first lock the players out, because they're not going to willingly sign a CBA that makes them sign a four-year contract to go to a school. Also, there'd be a, well, three? What would be your two-year?
Two.
Okay.
2 years.
2 years. And are you going to allow trades?
Yes, you're going to. Well, I think that's something you have to work on. I'm not sure about it.
Okay.
I haven't done the math, but I'll tell you something
else. Is there a salary cap?
Yes, there's
okay,
a salary
okay,
cap.
All right. Is there an entry draft out of high school?
I'm thinking that's possible. And,
you know what? The players are never going to agree to this until you lock them out from playing Division I. There's going to be a lockout.
Well, fine. Get
and I don't know how you do a lockout, because they're not even a union yet.
Well, but also you're going to be able to fire the players. It's going to work like a regular job. If you sign a contract to go to a school, you'll get your salary, whatever you're supposed to be paid. But they didn't cut you. You get fired, and you can catch on with another school if you want to.
Oh, God. One of the guys who's working on this proposal said the athletes need to be paid and are going to be paid. But then he pivots to say, we're going to need to sustain women's sports, Olympic sports, and we're going to have competitive equity in some methods to have a labor structure that is sensible. I laughed when I read that, and I said, oh, what bottomless pit of money are you going to go to have a pro league that's a 70-team super league, and then find more money to fund the women's sports and the Olympic sports? You're fucking dreaming, buddy.
Well, if you get enough television, you can. But here's something else.
They can. The television money is going to start declining.
But here's something else. By doing these seven divisions, it's going to be regional again. So you're not going to have Rutgers flying to play volleyball at UCLA. That nonsense will end with this as well.
Yeah. Quick media notes, and then we're done here. Norby Williamson finally out at ESPN. McAfee won. This is akin to Walter White blowing Gus Fring's face off in Breaking Bad. An unbelievable move. 40 years at the company, seemingly had a lot of juice. Not everybody liked him, that's for sure. You saw your girl Rachel Nichols tweeted, when good things happen to bad people, when the news came out. And I'm like, yes! Salty, of course, he was the one that forced her out after the whole debacle with her video link being left up and somebody recording her bitching about Maria Taylor.
Yeah, he is an example of someone who comes in the mailroom, which is where he started. And when you have a job like that, you learn to manage up. You're managing people below you, but that's not important to you. It's how your superiors think of you. And that's how he survived for 40 years. And yes, what happened with McAfee called him a rat. And instead of getting a suspension, he said, oh, but I worked it out with Jimmy Pitaro. And there was nothing they could do to McAfee. So once that happened, Norby was a dead man walking. Because this is told to you, right, over the years as an employee, never go above your superior. He went above his superior, and he blew Norby's brains out right in front of everybody.
An amazing power play. So, Also, sad news in that our guy Andrew Siciliano is finally out at the NFL Network, as well as Melissa Stark being out for – she was on NBC's Sunday Night Football, right?
She's staying on that, and I'm a little confused on Andrew. I did text him back and forth a little on just, telling him, you don't need me to tell you how good you are. Just,
right. Hang in there, buddy. I'm like, he doesn't need to hang in there. He was killing it financially, and he's single. He's still single, right? Never got married?
I think so. But I don't, Is this in any way, because we didn't get just a couple of texts, but is this in any way related to him not getting the DirecTV Sunday ticket that ended? They merged
I don't, that. That's a good question. I don't know. When he lost his Sunday, Sunday ticket or his Red Zone gig, because there was two Red Zones. He was the host of the one on DirecTV, the original. Then Scott Hansen came along with the standalone cable Red Zone that you watched. And they're both good, but Andrew really did a great job with it. And all I could think about, because you and I know Andrew from way back. He was an intern at 980 in D.C., but I also worked with him on Fox Sports Radio. I always looked at him in awe, like, he made it to the show. He's on television. He's on the NFL Network. He is the voice of the Red Zone for DirecTV. Wow. And so for him to finally reach the end of it, it made me sad.
Well, it also, I mean, if people don't understand how tough a job that is doing that. And also anchoring all the coverage where they, when they plop these different ex-jocks on the set and somebody's got to be the traffic cop and run the whole thing. He's incredibly smooth at it. He's got a great voice. He's got a great sense of humor. I mean, I don't understand. I understand the bean counters look at it, but how much money could he have been making?
I don't know. Right. And like you had no use for him anywhere else. But
yeah,
the sad news is, so the NFL bought NFL Films, and that instantly degraded that operation from what the Sables had built out of it. I know from talking to people that used to work at Films. They're like, yeah, the NFL owns us now. They're really cutting corners. So that sucks. It's going to get worse because the NFL Network is going to be bought by basically the league or the ESPN conglomeration, So there's going to be more consolidating. It's just going to get worse. It sucks.
Yeah. And meantime, the television ratings are unbelievable. They're making so much money.
And then they just had to yank Good Morning Football out of New York to save money. We're renting a studio. It's expensive in New York. Don't fuck with it. You got a good product. Well, no, we're gonna have the show be dark for a month leading up to the draft. Oh, idiotic decision. And then we're going to make it a two-hour show later in the morning so the poor hosts don't have to kill themselves waking up in the middle of the night in L.A.
Yeah, but who gets ready for work at 8 o'clock in the morning? People use that show while they get dressed, while they shave. Right. Yeah, they're at the door. Yeah, makes no sense.
Well, we can't have nice things anymore, I guess. That's not. All right, I'll take UConn minus the points, whatever the number is for tonight.
Yeah.
Who do you like?
50.
No, I'm not giving up any more than I have to. I'm just saying when they've covered 11 straight tournament games, probably going to ride them again. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, Hurley will probably be down about 15 at the half. And it's kind of what I expected. And then it went by 30. I mean, it's amazing.
And, of course, bet responsibly at mybookie.com. Use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. Got it in. Andy, as always, a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Very good, ZABE. Take care.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.